And now for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you, welcome home. This is Mother's Day, of course, and probably one of the most difficult messages a pastor has to share with his congregation every year is Mother's Day sermon. Today, there are so many divorces and broken homes, and many children don't grow up in Christian homes. There are many single parent families, and then there are many of us whose are seniors whose children have left home. There are children who have rebelled and left empty voids in the parents' hearts and lives. And then there are mothers and fathers who have made huge mistakes with their children and need forgiveness. Well, today I want to bring you a message about Christian homes that we all can work toward, that can help us with the living of our lives. So let's take something from this message that will help us in our situation in life. An interesting idea appeared recently in a New York Times magazine. It is a video tape produced by Quality Video of Minneapolis entitled Video Baby. It is designed for consumers who are devoted to family values but can't seem to find the time to start a family. This 30-minute videotape shows two infants doing what babies tend to do, like crawling around on the floor, you know, and playing with the rattle and taking a bubble bath and turning lunch into a complete mess. And then there's no narrator and there's no cleanup either, you know. And so once the tape is in VCR, there's nothing to come between the viewer and the baby except the off button. Of course, some things are left out, like crying and spitting up, and not to mention the challenge of a full diaper, or, you know, as the package says, enjoy bath time without being splashed and meal time without wearing the poop. Sounds good. All the joys of parenthood and none of the inconveniences. Just turn on the VCR and relax. This is Mother's Day. What a challenging time to be a mother. One mom named Linda Rossetti says that she was pleased that the bright striped sweater she had received as a gift seemed to have slimming effect on her finger. Her six-year-old son saw it and he said, "Hey, that's a pretty sweater, Mommy. You look like Wheel of Fortune." And Linda said, "Well, thank you, sweetheart, but I think what you mean is I look like Vanna White." And she said, "No, Mom, I mean you look like the Wheel." It's challenging to be a mom, but what a privilege and what a responsibility. TV anchorman Dan Rather was traveling he traveled throughout the world to report most of the major events of time. He witnessed wars and natural disasters and man's inhumanity to man, and then he wrote a book, and the book's title is The Camera Never Blinks Twice. And Rather tells of a moment in the Vietnam War that still haunts him. The year was 1965, and he was touring a hospital ship near South Vietnam. His guide took him below deck to a large room filled with soldiers who were recovering from wounds in the war. He described the horror that he felt as he observed the row after row of men lying there in bandages. All were horribly wounded. Many of the men moaned, and a few cried out. And the one name the men cried out constantly was Mother. When their suffering was so great as to be unbearable, they didn't call a doctor or a nurse. They called their mothers. Ben Rather comments that in our very worst moments, when we are most desperate for comfort, we turn to the first love we ever knew, and that is our mother. There is no relationship on earth more intimate than the relationship of a mother and her child, unless it is the relationship between the believer and God. Jesus says in John the 14th chapter and the 21st verse, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." And of course, that just doesn't mean men, that means women as well. And again, in John the 14th chapter, the 9th through the 21st verses, we read, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." In these brief verses, Christ is saying to us that this world was designed for love, and for a family, and for relationships, and for intimacy. It is good that we should have this day to celebrate the home and all it means to us. After all, it is in the home where we learn who we are. It is in the home that our identity is established. The parents of Rowan Hayes, the famous singer, had been slaves. And Rowan's father died when he was just a boy, and the boy grew up in poverty, but with the influence of a good Christian mother. Doors began to open for Rowan because of his musical talent. And then he was invited to sing for the British monarchy. He sent a cable to his mother, which bore a note of pride. She responded with just 4 words, "Remember who you are." I suspect that some of us received that message from our mother somewhere along the life's journey. Remember who you are. It is in the home we learn who we are. Are we persons of worth, persons of value? Are we bright? Are we capable? Are we persons of promise? There was an article in Ebony Magazine this about a year ago that featured a story about the basketball star Karl Malone of the Utah Jazz. Karl's father left his wife and 8 children when Karl was still very little. Shirley Malone raised the children all by herself. She worked 2 jobs and scrimped and saved to make both ends meet. A measure of her devotion shows in Carl's great success. There was no money for the Malone family for basketball equipment, and there was no basketball court near where the Malones lived. So when little Carl became fascinated by the game of basketball, Cherry Malone became the human basketball hoop, holding up her arms so her little son could shoot the ball through them over and over and over again. Karl Malone has been one of the NBA's most worthy role models. He learned from his mother not only how to shoot a basketball, he learned from his mother what was important. That's a lesson a child can learn even if there is no money in the house. In the home, we learn who we are. We also learn what is expected of us. Family values, it is sometimes called, and it is an important issue. For 20 years, Dennis Prager, who is on a talk show host on one of our radio stations, has been asking high school seniors a fascinating question. And this is the question. Would you save your dog or a stranger first if both were drowning? Here is what he found out. 1/3 always voted for the dog, 1/3 always voted for the stranger, and 1/3 always find the question too difficult. But Prager's second question is even more interesting. Prager asked the students who voted to save the person, are the students who voted to save the dog wrong? No, not one student says, Prager says, has ever said that the other student was wrong. Their argument is always the same. Listen, I personally feel that I should save the person, but they feel they should save the dog, and that's okay. Prager contends, after much research, that the feeling of love has supplanted God or religious principle as a guide, a moral guide for young people. What is right has to be defined, has been defined as what a person feels. Those of us who are pet lovers might be sympathetic to those young people or an ethnic dilemma. The point is that Prager is making is that many people today have no fixed point of reference for their values except what they feel. And feelings can be fickle and unreliable, even feelings as noble as that of love. I remember as a boy, after I learned how to drive a car, I remember my mother saying to me over and over again and again when I went out on dates, before I took the family car for a date, if a person jumps out in front of you, which will you do? Hit the person or hit a ditch? I'd always answer, oh, I'd go to the ditch. I asked her one time, why was it? Every time I took the car, she would ask that question. And she said, if it happens, I don't want you to have to think about it. It wasn't a matter of feelings. It was a matter of right or wrong. Humor writer Dave Barry once read a piece that exposed in a humorous way the unreliable side of love. He writes, love can be wonderful, but it also can be very destructive. It can cause people to lie, to cheat, to commit murder, and worst of all, to write lyrics like those, why do birds suddenly appear every time you're near me? These lyrics were, of course, a huge hit by the Carpenters some time ago for their song, Close to You. Barry says, you frankly have to ask yourself, do you really want to be near somebody who causes birds to appear suddenly all the time? Didn't Alfred Hitchcock do a horror movie about this? Barry is writing with a tongue planted firmly in his cheek, but it is true that we need to have a more reliable gauge for our actions than our emotions. We need principles that grow out of our faith in God and our understanding of God's plan for life. We learn these principles and values in the home. And many of you are trying, I know. The Ladies' Home Journal did a survey of working moms, and they found that many of them are still trying to keep traditional parenting habits. For example, dinner time. Dinner is a family time. Almost 30% say that eating dinner as a family is what's important every night. 44% said most nights. In God they trust. 50% of the 13 through 17 year old olds go to religious services, Sunday school, or both. And of course, it is even better if the parents take their children to church rather than send them. But either way, it is important for families to get their children to church and Sunday school. The point is that family values are the second of three critical tasks of the home. The first is the formation of identity, the second is the formation of character, and the third is to create a place of security in this uncertain world to which we are, our young are always, can always return. In his life and in his ministry, Jesus elevated the role of relationships high above every other human responsibility. We were created out of love, and we were created for love. God's very nature is love. The ties that bind us together as individual families and as the family of Christ and the church are sacred ties that are not to be severed except on the most extraordinary of circumstances. Our children may make all kinds of grievous mistakes in life, but they need to know that there is one place where they can always receive forgiveness and nurture and love, and that is that at the home. Part of our responsibility is to create a secure place to which they can return. Patsy Claremont's heart sank when she saw that she had been assigned a middle seat in an airplane flight. She hated the discomfort and the inconvenience of squeezing into the middle seat between two people who would most likely hog the armrests. But nothing good can come from a bad attitude, so she turned her attention to a polite young man sitting next to her. His name was Michael, and Patsy guessed correctly that Michael, impeccably mannered, was a member of the armed forces. Turns out he was just returning from a year in an assignment in Iraq, and Michael was nervous about returning home. He was afraid his family would expect a hero. He was afraid of crying in front of other people. He had been away in difficult situation in the company of rough and tough men. He didn't know how much he had changed or how much his family had changed. He was looking forward to two things when he got off the plane: telling his mother how much he loved the letters that she, and how much her letters meant to him, and hearing his little nephew call him Uncle Michael. Patsy's mother, a mother herself, and she was able to offer sympathy to his ear. She told him about her son returning from fighting in Vietnam. When he got off the plane, he pulled Patsy into a long and heartfelt hug, and it meant the world to her. Before the plane landed, Patsy informed the flight attendants about Michael's time in Iraq. The attendant informed the pilot, who announced over the intercom system, "It has come to my attention that we have a VIP on board. He is a returning GI from Iraq, and he is seated in 12F. As a representative of this airline and a citizen of the United States, I salute you, Michael, and thanks for a job well done." The other passengers broke into an enthusiastic applause. After the plane had landed, Patsy got out to the waiting room first. She wanted to see Michael's reuniting of his family. She spotted them immediately, and it wasn't hard to tell who Michael's mother was. As soon as she spotted her son through the crowd, she began to cry, and then they became into sobs until her tears spilled onto the floor. Michael went to the sobbing mother and wrapped his arms around her for a very long hug. After general hugs all around, Michael and his family headed for the baggage claims area to wait for his luggage. A little boy scampered over to Michael and tugged at his slacks. Michael picked him up in his arms. Someone asked the little tyke, "Honey, who you got?" And he answered, "Uncle Michael." Michael was very fortunate. He had such a home to come back to. Even one needs that kind of, everyone needs that kind of a home. And that's why Jesus told the parable that we had for by way of scripture this morning in Luke the 15th chapter, the 11th through the 24th verses, the parable of the young man who went to a far country, came back defeated and disgraced. But his father welcomed him with open arms. Everyone needs a home like that. Everyone needs a home where they can learn a healthy sense of their own identity. Everyone needs a home where they are taught principles and values that will last a lifetime. Everyone needs to know that they can always go back home. Mussy sentimentality, no authentic Christian faith. For that is the love God has for all of us. No matter what our situation of a home, or what kind of a home we came from. Now I know that many people do not have this kind of a home to come home to. And we can't change the past. But what is important is what we all have, a wonderful future if we trust God with our lives. Our loving Heavenly Father, like the practical son parable, will welcome us, forgive us, and help us and guide us into a wonderful future, no matter what our age or what our situation in life. All we have to do is to experience this wonderful life, is to ask God to come into our lives and help us. During a time of silent prayer, let's do it today. Jesus, just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins of the past, and help me, guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we know you love us. We know you want to help us. Come into our lives in a very real way this morning and forgive all of our sins and lead us into a wonderful life with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.